Singing with a little Oklahoma sinus, right? Hallelujah. God gives us strength in our weakness. So we're just trusting him this morning that his word will speak through and to us this morning. We're going to talk about life today. Connecting to life. When have you felt most alive? Those moments whenever you think, oh, wow, I am so glad to be breathing at this moment. Was it that tropical vacation or maybe the vacation in Alaska? We saw pictures of Maggie this last 2 or 3 weeks, and wow, when you look at those mountains, it's like, I'm just thankful to be breathing. When we went to Hawaii, we felt the same way. It's like, whoa, wow, I'm just glad to be feeling. I'm glad to be human, glad to be in this moment. Now, some of us feel most alive when we're going fast. I know we've got some people in this church that ride motorcycles, and they ride four-wheelers, and they ski, and they jet ski, and man, we're feeling alive when we do that. Especially when we crash, right, Brandon? We're feeling alive. Some of us feel more alive when we're just sitting on the porch in our lawn chair, just sitting there, maybe listening to the birds, looking at the trees. We're going to talk about connecting to life, and not just connecting in certain moments, but in all moments. Now, we're going to be in the John chapter 6 today. John is a book about life. And there's a character in this story that's called the crowd. So the crowd is following Jesus along the Sea of Galilee. Wherever he goes, he's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing, and the crowd is following him around that Sea of Galilee. And he goes to a mountain with his disciples, and the crowd follows him to the mountain. And when they get there, he preaches and teaches and heals, I'm sure. And then Philip, you know, says, well, we need to send them home because they need to get something to eat. And Jesus said, well, you feed them. And he said, well, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So Jesus blesses and breaks the bread and feeds over 5,000 people. And not only that, but they collect 12 baskets full. And then they're sent home. And Jesus goes to the mountain to pray right after that. The disciples go down to the shore and they get in a boat and they get out on the sea. And a storm comes up. And Jesus comes walking on the water. So where we're starting today in verses 24 of John chapter 6, the crowd's looking for Jesus. It's the next morning, and they want to know where is Jesus? Where's this dude that gave us all this bread? So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, what sign are you going to give us then so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The word of the Lord. Now, there's a couple of things I want us to, there's a lot we could talk about in this, but there are three things I want us to look at today. I want us to look back at verse 26, and because when I went to seminary, I learned that when you're studying the word and something is said more than once, it's supposed to catch our attention. So in verse 26, Jesus says something twice. And he says, very truly. But when you look at that in the Greek, it's amen, amen. And it's where we get the word amen. It means verily, verily, this is true. This is true. Truly, truly, I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because your bellies are full. You ate the loaves, you ate the fish, and your bellies are full. Now, I don't think he's scolding them here. I don't think he's scolding the crowd because he knows their needs. He knows our needs. Hunger is real. It's a reality for a lot of people that wake up every day hungry and they don't know where food is going to come from. They don't know how many meals they'll have that day. It's amazing to me. I was talking recently with a friend who they didn't have food in their house when she was a little girl. The only food they had was when they went to school. That is a reality for a lot of people. So we're not discounting the hunger that people feel because it's real. Needs are real. But I think what Jesus is saying here, why did you not want more? You see, they would settle for the loaves and the fish again. But Jesus wanted to give them more. He wanted to give them a spiritual banquet that was overflowing with spiritual nourishment. And I think he wants to do the same thing for us. A lot of times we come to him and we're hungry, but we don't really know what is the depth of our need that we bring to Christ. There's an old song that I thought of when I was reading this. There's a line in it that says, he looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And I think here Jesus is looking beyond their hunger, their need for him to show them something, a miracle maybe, a sign. And he sees their true need. And so, what is our need today? What is your need today? What if Jesus, as you come before Jesus today, what is our need? Sometimes we don't even truly know how to voice that. Maybe we're afraid if we do voice the need, we'll be disappointed if it's not met. Maybe we don't voice the need because we feel like that we're not worthy to receive what God wants to give us. But Jesus, they ask a question and he brings their attention, I think, around to thinking differently about what they really need. He said, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. And so they ask another question. Well, what works must we do? What works must we do to get this food that's going to continually satisfy us? In verse 29, he says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Believe. You see, the book of John is a lot about believing. It's about faith. It's about trusting. That word believe is in the book of John 99 times. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's a total of 29 times that that word is used. But here in John, he wants us to know there's something special about this person that's breaking this bread. That we are to come to him and to believe. And there's something else about this word. It is, in the Greek, it's a present tense verb. We're to believe. It's active, and it's also continuous. There's a time in Greek verbiage, and this is a continuous verb. So what it's saying is we not only believe in Christ and receive salvation through Christ, but it's a continual believing. Every day we have an opportunity to get up out of bed and continually believe God, to believe that whatever need is going to be in my day, it might be a physical need. Amen. It might be a physical need. It might be a spiritual need. It might be you might have something, a bill you can't pay. It might be a relationship need. You're having trouble loving somebody. Maybe you've got a marriage that's on the rocks. He asks us to come back to him and believe. Continue to believe that I am life. Continue to believe that he is the provision for whatever we're going to face today. There's going to be some struggles today, but I'm going to believe Christ will see me through. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want us to skip over to verse 32. And this is where he used amen, amen again. He says to them, very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. You see, just like the woman at the well, she went back to her past. She talked about their father, Abraham. They're going back to Moses. They're going back and they're saying, well, this father, Moses, gave us the manna. He gave us bread in the wilderness. And Jesus said, it wasn't Moses that gave you the bread. You see, it was God. It was God himself who fed you and protected you and provided for you. And so the response is, sir, give us this bread always. Always. We want this bread so we don't hunger anymore. We want the water so we don't thirst anymore. And in verse 33, he answers them and he says, I am. And there's several I am statements in John. And this is the first one. I am the bread of life. So whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He's enough. Christ is enough for what our need is. I don't have to be enough because he's enough. You don't have to be enough because he's enough. It's not the bread and the loaves that are the miracle. He's the miracle. It's not turning the water to the wine. That's the miracle. It's not the healing that is the miracle. It is not raising from the dead that is the miracle. He's the miracle. He is life. He is the resurrection and the life. We don't have to have the answers. He is the answer. We don't have to have the solution to, you don't have to have the solution to your problems. I don't have to have the solution to your problems. There are problems in the world. There are things that I don't understand. There are questions that I want answered. He's the answer. He's the answer. I go to him, the source of my life, and I find what I need. You see, we have to be careful that we don't miss life. We have to be careful that we don't miss Jesus. Many of the religious leaders missed Jesus because they were so busy doing. I think I have a scripture that I put up, John 5, 39 and 40. He's talking to them here. He said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that testify on my behalf. They knew scripture. But he said, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. He provides. He's the life that we need, that we're looking for. You know, for years, all of my years, the church has been emphasizing doing for God. Get out there and do for God. Let's do this program. Let's reach these people. And that's good. That is good. But something that we've been learning and something that we talked about in our Wednesday night was sometimes we get so busy doing for God, we forget to be with God. We forget neglecting spending time with Christ, who gives us what we need. You see, we cannot be for others what we do not possess. Connecting with Christ is life. And so if I don't connect with Christ, my cup isn't going to be full. But when I connect with Christ, my emotional and my spiritual cup gets refreshed as I connect to the life that is Christ. And so we think about the importance of being and connecting to the fullness. And so what can we do? What are some practical things we can do? One thing that I keep reading about is stillness and silence. Sometimes we just have to get still. We have to stop the doing and sit down and just be silent. That's hard for a lot of us that are geared to go. But it's in the silent moments that he talks. He speaks. It's in those moments you don't have to be. I mean, you don't have to do. It's not about what you do. It's not about what you have. It's about what He wants to give us, what He wants us to receive. And what He wants us to receive is Himself. Try sitting in silence this week, 10 minutes. Just give God 10 minutes. It's a little scary sometimes because when you sit in silence, it's when those ugly things that are inside me start cropping up. And you know, those are the things that He wants us to get out. So I can just release that to Him. Silence, solitude. Take a prayer walk this week. Just walk with God. We also talked about on a Wednesday night is praying the Psalms. You know, you might say, I don't know how to pray. Just take one of David's Psalms. Make it your own. You know, I have fallen in love with some of this new worship music. Never believed that would happen, but it has. And so mornings, I turn on my worship music. If you have Amazon Prime, there's Amazon free Prime music. You can download their app, and man, you can listen to all the worship music you can stand. But when I listen to those words in the morning, when I listen to that worship music, it stays with me. Susan sent me a song that I've been working on, and Dwan and I worked on it this week. It's called You Are a Miracle. You Are the Miracle. At the end of it, and it's something that keeps coming back to my heart. It says, "You are my miracle, Jesus. You are my miracle." When I start my day with worship, that sticks with me. So I'm connecting to life. Spending time in Scripture, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees missed Jesus because they were in the Scriptures, but they weren't searching for Him. They weren't searching for God. They were searching to have all the answers. And they missed God. So I encourage you to sit down with it, and you don't have to sit down with a lot of Scripture. Sit down with one verse. Read it. Look at it. There might be a word that jumps out at you if you read that one verse. Think about that word. Sit and think about that word. And then read that verse again. And ask yourself, what does this verse tell me about God? When I read this, what does it tell me about God? And sit with that. And then read that verse again. And ask yourself, what does that verse say about me? And sit with that. And then, what's my response? What's my response to God based on what I've just read? We've been learning that we are disciples. We are disciples. We are followers of Christ. And so we are to build our lives on Christ and what He can do. Operate out of His strength, not ours. Connect to the life that is Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For entering our brokenness and bringing life. We trust you. Help us to believe and help our